From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. Very, very welcome to our gospel program. Thank you for joining with me. We will be turning today to John's Gospel, the chapter 20. We're looking at the subject of the empty tomb, verses 3 to 10 of that chapter. Before we have a hymn, let me quickly just remind you of our afternoon program at 3 o'clock today. Please join me then. We'll be playing the final section of a sermon I preached in my church here in Kilskerry on Amos chapter 4 and the verse 12, where we read the words, "Prepare to meet thy God." The title of the sermon is A Wake-Up Call to the World. Plan to join with me then today at 3 o'clock. Now here is a hymn. It's the old-fashioned Revival Hour Quartet singing Amazing Grace. Our topic today is the empty tomb. We're looking at John chapter 20, the verses 3 to 10. When Mary ran to Peter and John, she told them what she had found at the tomb of the Saviour. "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have led him," she is reported as saying in the verse 2. The two disciples in turn react by immediately running to the tomb. In the reactions of Peter and John, we have activities that are characteristic of what we know of the two men from the gospel narratives. First of all, note that here is evidence of the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible claims divine inspiration for itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 16. That is what Paul taught. Peter taught the same doctrine. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 21. Being inspired of God, the Bible is wonderfully consistent in all that it teaches. There is no disharmony or disagreement in all that it has to say. In this passage, we are given little snippets of information that are not of major importance, but are incidental to the main narrative. But yet they harmonize perfectly with the information given to us in other places. Let me give you an example. In verse 4 we are told of Peter and John running to the tomb. See what it says. So they both ran together, and the other disciple, that was John, did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. The fact that John outran Peter is not of major importance to the story, but it is exactly as you would have expected it to be, since John was by far the younger man. Peter was a mature man, with a wife. John was little more than a teenager. It's not surprising, then, that he outran Peter. Again, John's stopping at the entrance of the tomb and going no further is likewise in keeping with the fact that he was a young man of gentle, sensitive, and quiet disposition. Verse 5 reads, "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in." Again, it is not a fact central to the story, but it is a detail that fits exactly our knowledge of John. Consider what we read of Peter, on the other hand. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie." Verse 6. Is this not exactly what the impulsive, zealous Peter would do? He was the one who had sought to join his master walking on the water. He was the one who impulsively, and yet so wrongly, had drawn the sword to defend his master in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 8 adds more information of an incidental nature, which again rings so true. "Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." John, more timidly, now follows the more bold Peter. Who will deny that this is precisely what you would expect from these two very different men? Such little details adds weight to the Bible's claim of being inspired of God. The second thing I wish you to note in this passage is the order that was obvious in the empty tomb. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Verses 6 and 7. The story put out by the authorities to explain the empty tomb is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 28, the verses 11 to 14. Let me read that passage to you. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch," those were the guards on the tomb, "came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled together with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldier, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him, and secure you." But the little incidental details given us here in John's account indicate that such a story was a lie. Had the body of Christ been snatched away by his disciples, they would have been working in haste. They would not have unwrapped his body, and if they had, they would not have taken the time to fold the items of linen, as is told us here. The word lying in verses 6 and 7 is the same word that is used of Christ as a babe lying in the manger. Luke chapter 2, verses 12 and 16. A baby is not thrown into its cot in a careless fashion, but carefully wrapped up and laid down in it. The whole scene of the tomb suggested care and order, rather than haste and disorder. When Christ rose from the dead, he carefully folded the linen garments in which Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had wrapped him for his burial. He first took off the linen cloth, which would have been wrapped about his head. That was set aside separately from the rest of the linen cloths. Verse 7. These little snippets, little items of information agree completely with the New Testament account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Finally, please note the disciples' departure from the tomb. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. Verse 10. What I wish to highlight is what they did not do. Think just for a moment what the average representative of modern Christendom would do if they were in the place of Peter and John. Would they not have carried away the linen garments in order that they might venerate them? Would these items of linen not have been considered so holy as to carry with them some sort of power to bless? I have no doubt that is what would have been done today. But note what Peter and John did. It never occurred to them to act as most would act today. They did not fall down on their knees or engage in acts of worship within that tomb. Why not? Because, dear listener, it is not the wood of the cross, or the grave clothes of Christ, or the stone tomb in which he was laid, that conveys to us God's grace and blessing, but rather it is faith in the Saviour himself. You do not read in the Acts of the Apostles, or in the epistles of Peter and John, or indeed in the writings of any of the New Testament pen men, that the early believers set up a shrine at the place where Christ was crucified, or at the empty tomb, because these places are not ordained of God to convey his blessing to men and women. God's means of doing this is the gospel message, and it is by believing it that we are made partakers of God's grace. You could have worn a hole in the rock of the tomb with your touchings and rubbings, or rubbed smooth the rough wood of the cross on which the Saviour died in your efforts to obtain a blessing from these items, and it would all have come to nothing. Such activities have no place in the Bible, nor in the religion of Jesus Christ, but they are the inventions of men. God's means of conveying his grace to sinners is by their believing the gospel. Paul stated the matter thus, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Romans 1, verse 16. And again, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Please heed these words today. Think upon them and believe on the Lord Jesus for salvation. Do join me again today at 3 p.m. God bless you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.